Hey friends, just wanted to drop a quick note. If you are a teacher or an administrator in the school and you're looking for a tool, a resource that can help better engage your students, that can get them more all in on the classroom experience and overall elevate the classroom and school experience for the students, then you need to take advantage of our Lead 'Em Up classroom. We officially have launched our Lead 'Em Up classroom so teachers and administrators can begin utilizing the same powerful curriculum that coaches have been utilizing since 2015, but now in the classroom. Available through a school-wide rollout or even a single teacher within a single classroom, whatever best suits your needs, take advantage of the Lead 'Em Up classroom and allow your students to experience the same power and growth that our student athletes have been experiencing for years. Take advantage of our Lead 'Em Up classroom. Make sure you bring this into your school. You don't want to go another school year without the Lead 'Em Up influence within your student body. You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A. Thank you for hanging with us today. I'm Adam alongside Kyle, and Kyle, recently the Olympics finished, and fantastic Olympics. Always loved the Olympics. As a sports fan, I just love being able to watch competition, and I love watching athletes compete hard, like really want it. I love the emotion of the Olympics. And frankly, I think it's actually the emotion of the athletes that is the driver of excitement around the Olympics. It's why so many sports fans struggle with regular season action versus postseason, because the emotion is just not there. But when it's there, oh my gosh. And it's all throughout the Olympics. And just before we get into where we're going, what was your favorite Olympic highlight moment, sport memory of this past Paris Olympics for you?
It's funny you said emotion. Like, I'm not a competitive swimmer and never have really followed it that closely, but every Olympics, I'm always drawn to like the swimming competition. And the first thing is like Rowdy Gaines as an announcer. He is so passionate and so knowledgeable that he just makes you excited for that race and whatever race it is. So I always just enjoy watching swimming because you can feel like the excitement and the emotion, like, through that. But then like just seeing, I think it was like the women's 1500 race or something like that, Katie Ledecky basically lapped the field in that race. It was sitting there watching as I'm going to sleep, and it was like a 12-14 minute race to have that endurance and then to be able to outperform the field and lap it to that degree was incredible.
There were some incredible performances. I think about like Sydney McLaughlin and like some of her races, and she did the 4x400 relay where their team was just crushing it. They were out of the lens of the frame of the TV because they were so far advanced. You know, first of all, am I a sellout if I want another country to win an event over the Americans? I have to wrestle with this.
It depends on the country, I guess.
I mean, or like, do we as Americans have to want USA to win every event? I feel like on the surface, like, I feel like we have to. But my gosh, there are some storylines of some of these other athletes that I'm like legitimately really happy for them. I'm like really, really excited for them. But it's like they took down an American, and I'm like, am I doing a sin against our country? Like, Rudy, like I wanted South Sudan to beat USA basketball in that one exhibition game.
Well, here's how you can justify it.
Please.
We're all global citizens. Okay.
Fair enough.
So you're rooting for humanity, and you're a global citizen above a citizen of the United States. So
I'm over there like mad that LeBron is like dominating the final minute or two against South Sudan. Cause I was like, this is going to be a fantastic story. Oh, I'll be so happy for them. I want them to win. But then I'm like, dude, I'm rooting against Americans. What am I doing? Like, for example, traitor. I know. Like, I was really happy that that one track female, I forget her name, but She won for St. Lucia. She was the first ever gold medalist, maybe even first ever medalist for St. Lucia. And they showed the island of St. Lucia, like watching on a big screen, and they went crazy. Yeah, like everyone back home. I don't know if you saw that one. It was incredible. No. But she had to beat Sha'Carri Richardson. And I'm like, you know, I felt bad because I was like American, but then I was like, that's really cool. But for me, I love the emotion of the Olympics, and it's such a beautiful thing. But a lot of times what I end up finding during the Olympic viewing is I find little things that just really fill me up with joy, that like really excite me. And sometimes it isn't always American related. Sometimes it is, but I love all the storylines. I love all these athletes that you begin to learn about and you begin to hear their story and the adversity. I love just the emotions and the reaction. And sometimes these, you know, low profile athletes that don't get a lot of attention all of a sudden become stars of the Olympics. I love those storylines. And one of which that I really was enjoying throughout the process of the Olympics was watching on USA Basketball a gentleman named Tyrese Halliburton. Tyrese Halliburton on the Avengers squad, as they call themselves on the USA men's basketball team. Tyrese Halliburton, if you're not familiar, he is a star in the NBA. He was an all-star last year. He is the face of the Indiana Pacers. Yep. He led the Indiana Pacers on a really nice playoff run this year. He made the all-star team this year. He was an all-NBA player, so he got an extra $41 million on his contract because he earned all-NBA status. He is a star. He's a star.
Yeah, no doubt.
But on Team USA, he's a guy. And on Team USA, even more so, he's a guy. He's kind of the lower tier on the roster. In fact, he was the lowest tier. If you look at contributions from minutes and points, he was the lowest. In fact, he never played more than 10 minutes in a game, and he only appeared in three games, never scoring more than 6 points. And the games where he did, one game 6, one game 8 minutes, one game 10 minutes, those were all blowouts that he just picked up kind of last minute, you know, late, you know, minutes.
Yeah, late game minutes.
Garbage time at the end of the game. But I tell you, if you watch Team USA, he was always maybe one of the most active.
Yeah.
One of the most engaged. One of the most excited, enthusiastic players. In fact, he was the guy that was spearheading the energy regularly on their bench.
He was always the first one up. Always the first one on the court.
Always the first one up. Swinging a towel. He's got a big smile, and he was always kind of big smile and having fun. He looked like an individual that was just extremely appreciative and happy to be there. And it was really interesting. Like, and he had fun with it. He didn't like push back. It wasn't like a, you know, a resistance to him. We're going to talk more about that here in a second when we talk about embracing your role. He wasn't resisting it. You know, he had fun with it. And I mean, even to the point where afterwards, when they won the gold medal, he put a tweet out where he's kind of biting the medal, which a lot of the athletes were doing, you know, taking a bite of the medal. And he wrote a little caption with laughs, you know, where he says, when you didn't have to do much on the group project, but you still get the A. You know, like, I love that. Like,
it's a great tweet.
What a great tweet. You know, it was fun. But did you see Tyrese Halliburton kind of responding and like kind of with that energy? Did that catch attention?
That's one thing that always kind of stood out to me a little bit is having that enthusiasm for it. And like you said, it's just like you can't fake a smile. And you can tell when someone has like pure enthusiasm and enjoyment and they're really happy in their role and what they're doing. And they're just, you could tell that there was a sense of gratitude on his part for being in that environment, for being on that team, to be able to participate in that. And the reality is yeah, he might be in the bottom third of that team, but shoot, I mean, you're still on the best team in the world with the best players in the world. And for you to be on that team says a lot about your ability. So for him to have that humility, I think that's one of the things that stood out to me is humility. And one of the best ways that we can really see that is like humility is not thinking anything less of yourself, but it's thinking less about yourself. So he doesn't think like he's a worse player because he's not getting those minutes, but he has the humility to not put his ego above the team and the goals and what he needed to do in order for them to reach their goal.
I look at his role that became pretty clear to him early on, his role on the team, that he wasn't going to be the Steph Curry, KD, LeBron rotation. You know, he knew his role was going to be at that level. And, you know, so often you hear in sports about the need to embrace your role. And I think we have to recognize there are levels to this theme of embracing one's role. Yeah. And we always say, you know, maybe you got to play your role, but more often than not, I think the cliche statement is to embrace it, to embrace your role. And I think when you begin to unpack the definition of that word and really study that word, I think it begins to change how you embrace, i.e., pun intended, the role. In fact, I would love to actually kind of go deeper on this and take notes on this, coaches, because I actually think you can take this conversation and share it with your players that are having to maybe enter into a role that's different than what they originally intended, or maybe not what they aspire to in that moment. But regardless of the role, we have an opportunity to embrace it. Tyrese Haliburton embraced it. And think about this when I describe it. If you actually think Tyrese Haliburton, based on what we just described, would be guilty in a positive way of embracing his role. So when you go back, I've shared this many times. One of my favorite apps is the etymology app, the study of the origin of words. I just think it gives this deep understanding and sometimes takes things beyond the surface to a more kind of analytical approach. Mid-14th century, Kyle, the old French defined the word embrace as to clasp, C-L-A-S-P, clasp. Think of a clamp of sorts, to clasp in one's arms, right? Essentially, it says later, to clasp in one's arms and to covet. To clasp in one's arms and to covet. So when you think about embracing, the clasping of in one's arms and to covet, when you think about clasp and you look up clasp for a moment, right, and you just kind of go deeper on that, it is to tightly and securely hold. And when I think about clasp and this embrace, it, like, I get visuals of like a military soldier coming off the plane who hasn't seen his or her family in 3 years. And we've all seen those videos where we get a bunch and they come down the gate and all of a sudden the family's there and there is this huge embrace. And yes, it is clasped, tightly secured. It is coveted, wanted, and they hold it and they won't let go of it. And there's this love and feeling and commitment to it as it is tightly held, coveted, clasped strongly and securely, wanting it. It's a deep emotional bond when one enters into the embracing of one's role. Deep emotional bond. And when you begin to kind of layer what embracing your role actually looks like, it kind of tells us that, you know what, there are levels to this. See, there's one, there's a player who's like sitting there on the bench and yeah, they're not playing that much and you want them to embrace their role and they're not complaining. Sure, they're not complaining. But they're also not like breathing life.
Yeah, they're not celebrating. They're not uplifting anybody.
They don't seem like that is, there's an emotional connection to their new role. So once again, think embrace, to clasp tightly, to covet. Covet, when you think about coveting, is to desperately want. Think about that, Kyle.
Yeah, that's really hard for people to wrap their minds around that.
Yeah, so all of a sudden you get put into a role. And if you're actually telling someone you want someone to embrace it, we want people to actually get to the place where they are holding it tightly, securely, coveting it, emotionally wanting it. There's not a single player. I think when you view embracing your role at that level of definition, there are not many young people that I would say embrace their role there.
No, few and far between on that. Absolutely.
It's at a level that we're going to a whole nother level. But I would actually look at a Tyrese Halliburton in this and say, you know what? I actually felt like he embraced his role.
Oh, yeah. If you go back and look at just some of like the clips from the big shots that were made and like his reaction as the play's going on, the timeouts being called and his mannerisms, everything that you saw from him on social, the way he carried himself, like there was never a moment that you got this feeling that he was upset, didn't want to be there, or wasn't enjoying the moment. You could tell that he was very appreciative of it. And I think that's kind of where it starts, is just having the gratitude for the opportunity that then will allow you to get to the point where you can covet it. But having just that deep sense of appreciation is what's needed first. And you can tell that he had that.
Hey guys, this is Kayla with Chick-fil-A, and this is today's Leadership Nugget. Over the years, I feel like the most respected leaders and the most respected team members at Chick-fil-A are the ones that hold themselves accountable to the very highest level of expectations. In fact, you might say that they don't even need leadership because they monitor their own decisions and they check in on their own work. They don't leave anything on the table. In fact, if they can do it better, they're gonna take it every single time. It's this internal drive to do nothing less than their very best, even when nobody's watching. They know that this is what takes it to the next level. So the question is, are you fueled by an internal accountability for excellence in every decision that you make? Do you put in the same amount of effort when nobody's watching you? That's what great respected leaders do. Now let's jump back to the episode.
Now, I think there's an important reminder. If you embrace your role, it doesn't mean you want that role forever.
No.
Very important reminder. But it is a reminder that during the season, while this is my role, I'm going to embrace it. And if you begin to adopt that mindset in all things, then when your role changes, that will just become your mindset on the next thing. You will embrace that next one. And you'll embrace the next role. And for us, it needs to become a mindset of embracing the role that is given to us in this moment. Because that is our responsibility. And if you're on a team, is to help serve the team. And if that's your role right now, then embrace it. Right? Clasp it. Hold it tightly. Covet it. Want it emotionally. I actually felt when I looked at Tyrese Halliburton, I think it actually went to that level because I think, frankly, he got to this place that he looked at the team and almost was like, you know what? Man, maybe this is a breath of fresh air. I don't have all the pressure on me this time.
Yeah, I just get to enjoy it. I have all the weight on my shoulders.
Everywhere I've been for the last 8 years, I'm the guy. The pressure's all on me. I've got to make it. And yes, I love that. But I'm in this new role that is almost like a breath of fresh air. That is so different than what I was accustomed to. I'm going to embrace this. You know, it's kind of like for me, when I go from, I live in the teacher seat these days, as do you. I live in the teacher seat. Everywhere I go, I'm teaching. Everywhere I go, I'm leading. And I'm not mad about that. I love it. It's what I do for a living. I'm teaching all the time. In fact, Kyle, you know, I just calculated, I think I hit my 10,000 hour mark of teaching.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
I have a little blog I was writing on the side, but Malcolm Gladwell talks about the 10,000 hour of intentional work on a specific craft. I think I just hit my 10,000th hour. You'll see a blog coming out. It's on my phone. But anyways, nonetheless, I'm living in this seat. I'm living in the teaching seat, living in the public speaking seat. When my role gets to be the one where I am being taught and someone is teaching me, oh my gosh, I kid you not, Kyle, I embrace the role. It is a breath of fresh air. I am like so excited to learn. I'm taking notes. I want to ask questions. I'm processing because that is my role in this moment. And I want to embrace the roles that I have whenever that role comes to life. So if my role in this moment is teaching, I want to embrace that. And my role in this moment is being a student, I want to embrace that. If an hour from now, my role is to be a husband, I want to embrace that, right? I want to hold all the different roles in my life under this embracing mentality because I just want that to be associated with me. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what athletes need to wrestle with. It needs to become a permanent thing that whatever your role is, and as it changes from day to day, moment to moment, whatever it is, I want you, can we get ourselves to the point where we are embracing it at such a level that we are holding it tightly, we are emotionally connected to it, that we are really demonstrating a deep want and a passion for it as we covet it? Because in an athlete standpoint, Kyle, their role changes all the time. You know, there may be a game where they are playing or they're not playing. That role is going to change. There may be moments in practice where their role changes. All of a sudden, you know, they're on this team, you know, competing against the starters. One minute they're filling in for a starter, competing against the scout team, right? One minute they fill in and volleyball on the front line. Next minute they're in the back line, right? You kind of move around. Your roles are always changing. But wherever that role puts you at in this moment today, can you get to the point where you're not just playing the role, you're not just going through the motions of the role, you're actually saying, I am embracing the role, and you're saying it knowing what it means, knowing how we define it.
Yeah, it's tough for the kids, you know, the younger athletes, because, you know, everything is in the moment, in the now. And a lot of this comes from, you know, experience and wisdom. But I think the challenge for us as coaches is to get them to the place where they start viewing everything as the identity kind of based leadership that we refer to often, but like taking the approach that this is who I am and this is what I do. So this season might be different than a previous one, or this part of the season is different than what I've experienced before, but no matter what, I'm going to continue to show up at a high level. Like, this is my identity as a person, as a teammate, as a leader. And I'm not going to take that for granted or take, you know, that lightly. So I think that's where we want to call them attention to at this age is showing them, you know, this is what you can do to excel. This is how you impacting and like painting the picture for what it is they can actually have an impact on. And then I think it's important for us to also celebrate those moments, help show them that it's recognized, that it's something that's important and of value, because when they feel that they're noticed, you know, that we say all the time is that which gets praised well gets repeated well. So when we see them embracing their role and we get that feeling that they are clasping it, that they are really fully embracing it, then they're going to repeat that. And we can help them get to that point as coaches and sharing this example of Tyrese, what he did, and then how they can do that for their specific team will really help them.
I think you have to train your mindset, though, to get into a habit of embracing roles.
Yeah, it doesn't come naturally, especially in our culture today.
Everything's practice that. And when I was out in Dallas last week for a corporate session, at the end of my session, they had a guest speaker come on that kind of did a closeout keynote. And he was talking about just excellence in general. And he had a little quote that said, practice excellence on your own time so you can practice excellence on your own time so you can execute excellence in game time. And he was talking about just getting our mindset in a mindset of excellence and practicing it every day and all the little things. So when it comes time to actually execute on excellence in bigger moments, it's just part of your DNA. And I think that plays out with this theme as well. You know, can you, throughout all your day, you're going to be playing many different roles every day. If you're a student, you're a friend at times. You're a teammate at times. Maybe you're a starter on the team at times. You're a student in the classroom. You're a sibling at home. You're a child to your parents. I mean, you're playing, I don't know, 6, 7, 8, 9 different roles every day. Can you get mindset, a high level mindset of embracing all of them, that you are going to live into all of them at the highest level, just so you can practice excellence on your own time. So then it'll allow you to just execute it in all things when it's game time. And I think that's the challenge. But I think one thing that will help our players better embrace it is when you actually take the time and go deep in the definition and description of what embracing actually looks like. Because until you get to that point that we just kind of went there today, remember, the clasping of one's arms to emotionally covet, to hold securely and want, that's a level. That's a level there. And when you get it to that level, now all of a sudden you establish expectations. Because before you describe that, if you just leave it open-ended, embracing is a relatively subjective term. You'll get people being like, yeah, I embraced it. I'm like, did you? Because I never felt like you actually wanted it. I never really felt much energy. If you embraced it, I would have actually seen the same amount of joy from you on the bench as I do when I see you play. Because when I see you play, you have tons of smiles and energy and enthusiasm. Right. But when I see you go on the bench, you're telling me you're embracing your role, but your attitude is very different than what it looks like over there. To me, it actually looks like you embrace playing and you're partially embracing sitting. Can you embrace that role at such a level knowing that, like, all right, can you just get in the habit of that? Because when you're on the bench in that moment, you can't help us on the court. Like, you're not playing on the court when you're playing on the bench. So there's no point of pouting or anything. Embrace your role so you can help try to add value in that role, right? And impact our team through the position you're in that moment. Get into the habit of embracing your role. Begin to build that as a habit that shows up in all things. Be a great husband, wife, sister, brother.
Yeah. That's the challenge, I think, for us as coaches, is just to, like, remember and remind ourselves that for our athletes, more is caught than taught. So when we're at school, can we embrace the other roles that we have? Like, our athletes are going to see us at assemblies, at all school events, at other sporting events. They're going to see you interact with peers, with other people on your staff. Like, are we having that same level of commitment? Are we embracing all the different roles that we have? And when we talk about wanting them to do it, you know, it's always key for us to live that out and then to maybe talk to them about why we embrace the different roles that we have and why it's important, why it's special. And that'll help build a connection with your athletes. Again, when you talk about having a special culture, it's not something that just accidentally shows up. This is a big part of that, is having those conversations and sharing, you know, what you do to embrace your roles that you have and how that can help your athletes do it.
Embracing the role. Shout out Tyrese Haliburton. If anyone knows Tyrese, I know he's a PGC grad, so maybe there's some PGC connections. Man, I would love for you to share this episode with him because, hey, we're celebrating him on today's episode because we think he was fantastic. We think he truly embraced his role and actually demonstrated to the country and to the world what it can look like when you put your egos aside and just embrace whatever the role happens to be. Although that may not be the role forever. Listen, that's not the point. Point is, that is where you are here in this moment. Can you dominate it? Can you embrace it? Can you impact and influence from that position? Tyrese Haliburton, great job, my friend. Hey, until next time, I'm Adam. He is Kyle. We are Lead 'Em Up on behalf of the entire team. We are out.